Anyways, Thomas Deegan is a gentleman who is from West Virginia, who I take it from my discussions with him and watching his video, has been down the hole as far as you can go, and on the way back up through the hole, it all got very, very clear to him. Am I halfway close, Thomas?
Very close, yes.
Yeah. So can you just let this go? Since we got you on air and the Pope's not in town right now, maybe you can just give us a little bit of background of how, like, you're what, 37 years old?
39. Just
39 now, so you're a lot younger than I am. But I don't feel any older than you. Have you always been like me, a guy that's always kind of looked at things when something's not right here?
I did for a while, but because of my relationship, I was made to feel like I was crazy.
Well, that happens a lot. Yeah. Back in the 70s when I first realized that there was something wrong here, and I ended up in a research library in Calgary, Alberta, and digging through some stuff, and I went, aha. And I didn't get to the depths of it I did now. I thought there was still a country, and I thought there was still, you know, political parties that mattered and all this kind of crap. But what I came up with at that point was that we were actually under dictatorship because of the way the political system set up, and that it was a benevolent dictatorship. In other words, as long as the governments kept offering benefits to the people, they wouldn't question anything. But nobody wanted to hear that. Nobody. So I went to work in that for a while, and then, as time went on, you have to start digging again as you watch this start to disintegrate in front of your eyes. And so you went through the same thing, you know, like, lighten up, Thomas, right? You know, quit, you know.
No, it was literally, I was crazy.
Oh, that easy.
It was literally, that's what it was. I was that crazy, and I was in a car accident. And my significant other had been a home wife for a while, and she didn't wish to take care of me when I got hurt, so she left.
Mm.
And so my journey started in family court.
Oh.
Because I was trying to see my kids. And of course, in order to see my kids, because I was crazy, I had to go ahead and I had to start the mental facility stuff, the psychotropics. And it went downhill from there very quickly once you get on those drugs.
You know, just to interrupt there for a second, you don't know how many people I've run into that family court was the light.
Yeah. Now, I found that here in the States as well.
You know,
because most of us are good people. We don't have interaction with the police. We're not out, you know, causing crimes or anything. We're just normal people working, and we just wanted to simply be in our kids' lives.
Yeah, because I don't know how many people I've talked to that seemed to be their turning moment when, like you said, they're just normal people going about their normal lives, and then, you know, there's a breakup in the family or something, and then they're brought into this family court thing, which is completely alien to them. And they see how this is being done and how you're just basically a chunk of meat and the state controls your life at that point.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what I found, is that the assistance was all given to her, including attorneys. She walked in court with everything, and I was walking in with nothing. And then everything was taken from me. I mean, everything out of my home, I was left to start over.
So from there you started looking around a little bit.
I looked around and I said, well, this is getting very interesting. And then I had an unfortunate incident with some of the psychotropics that I was being forced to take to see my kids, and I called after hours to set up an emergency appointment to get the meds changed. And instead of getting an appointment, I got a SWAT team. And they came in, and they came in without warrant, took me, tore my home apart, and then charged me with cultivation. Well, actually, it was trafficking in marijuana was the original charge. And, of course, they had to drop it because there was no trafficking. It was simply I was growing it for my back. But without warrants. And so I, it took me maybe about 20 days of looking around, and I figured out that it was military, corporate, foreign operatives acting and purporting to be a government. And I went on the attack. And that dragged on until this year after the third kidnapping with no warrant and solitary confinement for 5.5 months. And, of course, I screwed around in their court inside the jail and won a few things in there, so they didn't want me there anymore. And they gave me a binding plea agreement, which is very, very rare in America. And it allowed me to be released from prison and do what I needed to do and not face 10 years in there fighting an appeal that I could win. But by the time I won it, I would have already served my time. So is that really a win?
Well, that's how they build that system, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And but you've done all this research. So where we're at now, just to jump ahead here, where everybody should be at now when they're not, you are, I am, and more people are all the time, is to get down to the common denominator here. And the fact is that the simple fact is that you don't have a government.
Right.
You don't have a law system, right?
Correct.
You have a corporation and a legal system.
And absolutely.
And the legal system makes rules and regulations for the corporation, period.
Absolutely.
And you are not allowed to be alive. Not really
they want you playing with the dead because it's against most people's belief system to deal with the dead. And so it's a spiritual thing is actually what you're fighting in there, is because they're wanting you to play with the dead. And of course, I know of no real major religion that allows you to do that.
No, it's kind of looked down upon. And this is what I'm trying to get people to understand there's an election here in Canada. Now, I was talking to Elections Canada a week or so ago, and I put it to them, you know, I says, like, you have to show your ID to register to vote. Well, yes. Well, then you're not voting. Okay, you're acting as an agent for a legal fiction, which can't do anything by itself. Is your corporate entity, of which they feed off of, but you can't vote. It's an absolute impossibility. The only thing you can do is you, who has the ability to mark something with a pencil or a pen, which the legal entity cannot do, but you can't register to vote. The man or the woman, they cannot register to vote. So you are acting as an agent for the legal fiction, which binds
Correct.
You to the legal rules of the corporation.
All without full disclosure.
Well, absolutely.
So it's voidable. It's not void, but it's voidable once you speak out. Which is what we did here in West Virginia.
Now, this is what I'm really interested in. Let's get to West Virginia, because I know a lot of people here have been putting out paperwork. I looked at bringing a private prosecution and some stuff that happened to us with the police and the courts. And they said, oh, yes, you can do a private prosecution. I said, fine. But I talked to some people that tried to bring that to court, and it goes through a justice first, and they said they won't let it by.
Correct.
And I said, well, what something's wrong here. So I went to the Attorney General's office and site here. And it does say you have every right to bring a private prosecution. And it goes to the justice, and the justice is supposed to look and see if it has merit to bring it forward. That's it. Okay, that's fine. Now, the problem is as you go down, it, all the way through this literature, it tells you, you know, you have the right to a legal prosecution or a private prosecution. And down near the bottom, it says, then, if it does get by the justice, then there's a hearing, and then the Crown comes in. And the Crown decides whether or not it is in the public interest being the corporate interest, and if it's not, they can quash it and you can't go forward. So there's nothing private about this private prosecution, because the second the Crown comes in, it's not private anymore.
Correct.
Right. So they've got all these little...
We have private attorney general here,
mm-hmm.
but... They once again, you have to go through the court, and the court has to okay it, and it's up to them to decide whether it has merit. Well, that's a very loose term.
Well, yeah.
And, of course, it's not going to have merit if it goes against them.
Well, no. So so much for your private prosecution out the
right.
window with you, right? And so you're in West Virginia, and you get all this stuff. And just before we get to West Virginia, I know that there's people here listening today who are fighting geoengineering and fighting fluoride and fighting vaccinations and fighting, you know, Planned Parenthood and all these different things. These are all branches on the tree, okay? And they love you fighting it. They love you signing petitions for geoengineering.
Absolutely.
Okay, because it keeps you busy.
Yeah.
Okay, and it keeps you away from the root of the tree, which has to get cut. And that's where I think Thomas is so bloody important, is he's at the root of the tree. And we have to forget all of the other things. I mean, I've had people all excited because they got fluoride removed from somewhere. And now they're all happy, and they have no idea what's going on. And it doesn't matter because they'll just put lithium in your water. I mean, that's the next move.
Right.
Right? So the reason they're taking the fluoride out is to pacify you, to take any fight out of you, and then you sit back and become oblivious to everything else going around you. So we got to get this to a centered fight here. If you will, it's not really a fight, you know. You know, it is World War III, and it is not a bombing war, not here, anyways. Okay, but it is a psychological and a spiritual war, and that's how we're going to beat them back. You got to use their own tools, and they cannot win against us if we stop being afraid of them. They can't win.
Right.
You know, it's just a unanimous no. We get it, shove off, right? And they're done.
Absolutely.
So, okay, West Virginia. You're working with a group.
No.
The other gentleman.
Two other men.
Yes.
Two other men.
Yes.
But no group, because that's just stupid.
Right. Yeah, the group part is stupid, yes.
Yeah. That's Philip Pudok and Gene Stalnecker. And, of course, they're both, my seniors by 25, 30 years. Gene's been fighting it since 72, and Pudok's been fighting it since mid-90s. But they were fighting like everyone else, a bitter piece of the system. You know, they were going after the branches of the tree rather than the trunk and the roots. And... while I was in jail, I had found out that the jails were actually under military authority in West Virginia because the guards were, they were not only a civilian guard, but they got civilian pay and military pay. And then they got military retirement because I was talking to them. And that floored me a little bit. Because if you have a military court, well, what kind of court had to put you in there? It's a military court. And if you were picked up by the sheriffs to be taken to a military court, well, what does that tell you about your sheriffs? They're military.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I was in there, I told them of the 33 War Powers Act here, which was actually the Emergency Banking Relief Act, which named us as enemies. It amended the 1917 Trading with the Enemy Act, which was during World War I, and it made the American people enemies. And at that point, you were then considered an enemy combatant, and under the laws of war, they could do what they're doing. They could do what they're doing to you, as long as you were a U.S. citizen. And so I told them to go to the Attorney General of West Virginia and to tell him that he needed to take action in our courts to go ahead and they needed to go ahead and take action to nullify that on the soil of West Virginia. Because there's no way that you could have a person named as the enemy of their own country. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense. I mean, this is my country. So how could I be named an enemy? And they went there, and of course, they were all gung-ho. Yes, we're going to look into it. Nothing. So we waited 2 months. We gave them 60 days, and then we took a petition to all three branches. And it was simple 14 points, and it was laying out the fact that the government was not a government, that it was foreign agents, military, corporate, private for profit, acting as the debtor of the international bankers. And so the bankers were the creditors. In the creditor-debtor relationship, who's in charge? Creditor. And we wanted them to simply vacate themselves from the corporate office, to return to the constitutionally compliant office, and we were okay with that. We'll forgive. Forgive and forget. And we've got silence. Silence. So we filed the complaint. And the complaint, we just used maxims of law. We used scripture. And we used their own code, case law, rules, regulations, statutes against them. The only actual words that we put in ourselves were the harm that was caused to each of us. And, of course, mine was the three kidnappings. Gene, he couldn't get constitutional money. And Phil, he was upset with being licensed because in America, if you're licensed, you're an enemy of the state. And so we put this forth, and, of course, we got a scheduling order from the court, and they were violating their own rules of procedure in that scheduling order, so we refused it. And we said, no, we're in charge. We're going to give you the order. So we gave them the order back that we were giving them the statutory 30 days. We didn't want to say common law 21. We didn't want to say commerce 3. We were trying to be very fair, give them 30 days to answer. They defaulted. They didn't answer in time. They did finally put in an answer, and their answer was, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, stick your head in doo-doo, we're government. That was their answer. They didn't respond to any of our facts, truths. They just simply said that. And so at that point, they actually dishonored and defaulted themselves by not rebutting the facts that we had put forth. And we put them forth as denials because we understand the maxim of law. He who affirms must prove. And so we didn't want to have to prove anything, so we just started denying that they had certain authorities under the contract. And, of course, all of these things go at the basis of the fact that they're foreign, commercial, military operatives. And so we ended up at a point now where they broke several of their own rules of court. They then pushed the case to the next term without giving us notice. That's a violation of due process again. And so we just simply went ahead and defaulted and dishonored them. We gave them an opportunity to cure. We actually gave them two opportunities to cure. They failed to respond. And so we went ahead and just put them in permanent default and dishonor, which in law and at law basically means they have no legal or lawful authority to exist. They're only here because they have persons with guns saying they exist. But they have no authority whatsoever at this point in West Virginia to be here.
They never really had any authority anyways, because deception, which it was a huge deception, is fraud, and fraud is a criminal offense.
Fraud vitiates all.
Right, exactly. So, and there's no time limit on fraud.
Forever.
So, Exactly. So, you know, like you said, except for the guns, they have no authority, and they know it.
Correct.
And so I don't know how they work in the United States, but up here, they legislate the police, and they're all employees of the Crown because they take an oath to it. So they're employees of the Queen or the Vatican. And but what they do up here is they legislate the police as a arm's length agency. So they make a police act, which is just a vessel to put statutes and stuff in, put rules and regulations into. But the police are outside the grasp of the so-called government that actually created it. So there's no oversight over the police whatsoever. So anytime the government corporation decides they need a new cash flow system, like up here now they did this distracted driving, right? It's a brilliant thing, right? Because the cop says, well, I noticed they were distracted. And how you know, you go to court, if you've ever been to traffic court now, I mean, where's your defense? Right. You know, I have to believe the officer, right? And these aren't even judges. I mean, these are ex-school teachers and stuff sitting on the bench up here in the traffic courts. They have no training in law whatsoever.
Right.
So the government basically instituted a group of highwaymen to go out and rob you and I. You will never see the police stand up against a corporation. You will never see the police come to the aid of the people. Okay, if there's a protest somewhere, who do they go after? The people.
Correct.
Because their job is to protect and serve their masters, which is not you, it's the corporation. And I hope there's some police listening to this today. I really, truly do.
Well, I know my friends are here in the States are, and I'm glad you guys could join us. Maybe you're getting an education for free. I'll send you a bill later.
I mean, I take every opportunity I do get to speak to the police, and they don't come here anymore, but they used to come here on a regular basis under false pretenses and everything else. And I'd ask them, you know, is that part of your duties? Well, no. Then why are you standing here? Well, and what they were trying to do was to get me to freak out or something, or get uppity or whatever, so they could assess me as a threat and have me banned from speaking in public and that, which never worked. But he always gave me a chance to talk to the police, and regardless of what you think of the police, and I mean, they're C average people who are getting a paycheck larger than they ever hoped to get anywhere else. And they just
I think you're giving them too much credit.
Well, I know, but it goes back to that comedian I heard one time, and she said, you know, a cop pulled me over one time and he's looking at me very stern. You know why I'm standing here, lady? And she said, I couldn't help myself. I just looked at him. I went, C average? but they are people. They have families, and they have mortgages, and you know, their kids are being abused in the school system just like everybody else's kids. So we have a duty to attempt to educate them just like everybody else.
Correct. And I mean, I gave my local sheriff and court a 4-year education for free with my paperwork over and over again. And so I did educate them for free. I tried, and it didn't work. Because they don't look as us as giving them their paycheck.
Well, that's it. And it goes back to, you know, you can get, the police are, the hired guns for the corporation. It's that simple. Now, you know, when
in violation of laws of war, actually, because they're not identifying their principal. At least in America, I can say that for sure, because we are under military occupation and under the laws of war. They have to tell you their principal, and they're walking around acting like we're their principal. So they're actually violating the laws of war, Geneva Convention, and actually the Lieber Code that was enacted in 1861 or 62 here in America.
Yeah, our police are military as well up here, and the Queen is in charge, is the head of the state, which is the head of the military, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing here. All they did, they just rebranded things a little bit different, south and north, but this exact same system. There's nothing different about it.
Well, the system is worldwide. They just have to tweak it for each, each different community a little bit.
Yeah, basically what we can sell to that particular group of people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is all set up by lawyers, and America was discovered, just like Canada was discovered. But those guys that came out, the explorers, okay, they were funded by companies.
Correct, which were crown companies.
Right, and investors. Yeah. So the problem they had, from what I see here in Canada, was that they claimed this land as barren or wasteland or whatever they claimed it as, okay, because there was no improvements in that, okay? The native people didn't. I mean, they just lived on the land. What's the big deal? So they, in order for them to claim possession, they needed to build towns and settlements and get people here.
They had to improve it.
Right. So what they did was the people from, Europe and Britain and wherever, they conned them into the idea that they were going to give them land, which they didn't have back home. They lived in the feudal system, and they knew they could never improve their families' lives in the position they were in. So they conned the people into coming over here with the idea that they would have the right of property. Well, while they have the right of property, the crown never relinquishes the right of the land. Okay, what you got is a bundle of rights on the property. You don't own the land. The land and property are two totally different animals.
You have equitable interest in it, but they have the legal interest in it. And until you merge the two, there's no real title to it.
No. You just have this bundle of rights that you can use and sell. You can sell that bundle of rights. It's just an investment package.
Correct.
You know, that's why they say, you know, your home is probably your largest investment.
Correct. They're telling you the truth.
Yes, they are. And
For once,
yeah. But the property is that really silenced my municipality. You know, I says, okay, I want to know who owns the land that this house is sitting on. And they go, well, you own the property. That's what they wrote me back. You own the property. Yeah, I own the property, but the property isn't the land. Who owns the land? Well, just like your experiences, they get real quiet.
Correct.
Yeah. You know,
and they can't answer that because that gives away the whole secret.
Yeah. And I just say thank you for being quiet, because every time you be quiet, I know we're on the right deal here. Right?
Correct. Oh, absolutely. If they don't answer you, then you are on the right path, or you are actually already there and you're right.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
Yeah. So let's jump back to West Virginia. Tell me all about West Virginia and what you guys are doing in that.
Well, actually, the newest development we just found was because we were looking for when the state of West Virginia was incorporated, because Congress authorized, well, the military Congress wasn't even a legal Congress or a lawful Congress at the time. It was a military Congress. Allowed us to enter the Union in 1863. And so we had been searching for years trying to find when they actually incorporated, because, of course, as a de jure republic entering the Union, incorporation is not permitted by the contract. You have to be by of and for the people. So by definition, that would be an organic entity and not a fictional entity. And we just happened earlier this week to find that the state of West Virginia was incorporated the same year that we became a de jure state of the Union. And it was odd, the wording. The wording said that it was established in 1863 and incorporated in West Virginia. So now we knew what we thought all along, which was your state is actually either West Virginia, Georgia, California. And that when you see the state of before that, that is the corporate military usurpation of the de jure authority. And we just hadn't been able to prove it before. Now we can prove it. And then we ran across a newly created position that is not constitutionally authorized in any state or under the federal contract, and it is the state adjutant general. And this was a recent development anywhere between 2010 and 2012 in every state of the union. And that person is above the entire National Guard, which is the state military, and all of the police. So now they have consolidated all of your, quote, public safety in the state under a general. So now we have prima facie evidence that it actually is military. It's in your face. And so we're walking in with an amended complaint in about a week. We're adding quite a few individuals, including the Supreme Court. We're going to go ahead and just remove all the justices. They're now parties. Misprision of felony. They were told of crimes, and they didn't do anything about it. So we're going to remove them. So I'm not sure how they're going to hear this case if there's no one there to hear it. And we're going to go ahead and bring in the military general, and we're going to go ahead and bring in the state of West Virginia as a person, because here corporations, trusts, foundations are persons in the law. So we're going to bring in the state of West Virginia as a person, which gives us access to every entity under the maxim of law that he who creates is liable, to all of the counties, townships, cities, agencies, departments. They're actually all under the state of West Virginia persons. And so now we will have the entire military corporate structure in court as a defendant. And we will be taking action as the people on our own, in our own venue, jurisdiction, and law form, because of course they can't hear us because they're fictions, and fictions cannot deal with live people. And so we must bring it to our venue, the live venue, which we are working on presently.
Yeah, that's the problem, you know, they're working in fiction. The people are trying to work as people. The two can't mix. Legal and law, it's an impossibility for those two to mix.
Right, it's oil and water.
Yeah, it is absolutely oil and water. And so, you know, whether you get these guys into court or that is really not that important. What's important is that you're going through the process, which shines a light on the problem so that other people can see it.
And actually what we did was we just took the oldest form of law, which was based basically upon the biblical scripture, which is that we went to our fellow brother or sister that was harming us. And we told them, you're harming us, and mm-hmm. here's how you're harming us, and here's what you can do to correct it, you know, staying in honor, which is what you should do. And that was our petition. And, of course, once that did not work out, you're supposed to take it to the magistrate, which in our case was the Supreme Court of Appeals. So we did that. And once the magistrate has not given you justice and has not stayed in honor and truth, you then must invoke the law of necessity, the right of self-preservation, and the maxim, you can take arms against the armed. And so that is actually what we're going to be doing. We don't have any other choice now. And that's what has scared them. And, of course, you know, that's why our friends was trying to interfere with the call earlier, is that they know that we have the right to do what we're going to do, and there's nothing they can do legally or lawfully to stop us. There's nothing they can do. The only thing they can do is murder us. And that would be a problem because the amount of people that's coming behind us now is very large.
Well, this is the whole answer to everything, right?
Correct.
I've had people in the past, you know, say, like, we're just going to go into the courtroom and arrest everybody, or go into the municipal hall and arrest everybody, right? Well, that's not going to work, okay, simply because they still run the media.
Correct.
Waco is a perfect example of it. They will vilify you and wipe you off the map. And then instead of getting what you want, the ones that you are trying to out get the praise. So we can't go there.
No, but no. If you build the foundation to show that you're acting in honor, law, and truth, and you have a plan to address the media through their own system, that is where you can win. That is where you can win. You can't go in with just brute force against them.
No, you can't.
Because you'll lose that. You'll lose the PR battle.
Yeah.
And so that's why we do have a very beautiful plan here that will utilize PR, media, as well as the lawful process. And that's the key, because I've heard a lot of people, well, let's just snatch and grab. You know, let's just grab them.
Yeah.
Well, no. How about you actually declare yourself free? You start to form a jural society, which is the basis of any society. A group of people coming together say, hey, we're going to agree to abide by this law form in this venue, in this jurisdiction. We do it privately, contractually, which according to our original contracts, they're not permitted to interfere with our contracts. So we're using their loopholes against them. And there's not much that they can really do as long as we stay in honor.
Well, there is such a thing as private law, right?
Correct.
And but they kind of put the lawyers, they're weasels, they're liars.
Liars, that's a good one.
Yeah,
liars.
They always tell you that this works, and then they have somewhere stuck somewhere, just like the private prosecution, so
right.
It doesn't work, you know?
Right.
And we live in total duality here. But
they have to give the appearance of a remedy, otherwise the people wake up much quicker than they do now.
Well, that's the whole deception, right?
So you can do a private prosecution, but we have to okay it. I mean, are you insane?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Are you insane? No, we can do it, and no, you can't say anything about it. You don't have the right because you're inferior.
Well, because
you're inferior.
Because this is both a psychological and a spiritual war. There was a group of Russians that came. I don't know if there's any incidents of them in the United States or not, or in America. Excuse me, I only use the term United States. But they were the Dukhobors, and they were a Christian sect who came to Canada, settled on the West Coast mainly, and they put themselves apart, and they acted as men and women outside of the legal system. They wanted no part of it. And throughout history, they would have these protests every now and again when the government would try to step on them or drag them in. And they would just have a naked protest, right? All the women would just strip down and walk in protest.
I can applaud that.
Yeah, I mean,
as a man, I can applaud that.
Well, you haven't seen too many Dukhobor women, have you?
Okay. No, I haven't. So I may have to take that back.
Yeah, you look it up and you'll go, whoa. These are very hefty women, but solid workers, right? But they were adamant about law and where the law came from, and that the legal system is, in fact, not law. And,
correct.
And that, I think, is exactly what anybody's trying to do here. All we wish to do is live as men and women.
Correct.
Okay? With our families, in our communities. Okay? And we do want a law system. You get these people, you don't like law. I love law. Law is
absolutely
too simple. Right? Law is
correct.
Not complicated.
Yeah, it causes no harm to others or their property.
And it's honest. Legal, on the other hand, is about as dishonest as you can ever get. Because you're presenting something as something that it is not.
Correct. Well, anything can be legal, but not everything that is legal can be lawful. I mean, they can legalize robbery. They do it. It's called taxation.
Well, you're a police force, yeah.
Yes. You know, they can legalize kidnapping.
But they
call it legal process.
Yeah, but it's not law.
But it's not law, and it's not lawful.
No, all it is bylaws of the corporation. Like I had a guy
correct
here. I had a guy here in the local community here, and I did run for mayor at one point. And And, you know, he says, well, of course we're a government. And I said, well, not according to the feds, you're not. You're a creation of the state. Okay?
Correct.
Whoever's running the state, you do the bidding of, period, plain and simple. And he said, well, of course we're a government. We write bylaws. I said, well, I have a corporation, a construction company, and I write bylaws if I wish. Okay? And my employees abide by the bylaws, just like any other company. You're not writing law, my friend. Okay?
Put it in this perspective. This is what wakes people up in America. Does McDonald's, as a private corporation, have the right to come to your home and say, hey, you violated our law,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to take you to jail now, and we're going to, and we don't care that we can't prove that you're not a McDonald's employee, we're going to do it anyways, because we're McDonald's and we can.
And that's
or
all,
let's say Batman shows up. Batman pulls you over on the side of the road, says, I'm Batman. I'm going to give you a ticket now. What are you going to say to Batman on the side of the road if he says that? Well, you're going to say, you're crazy. Get out of here.
Well, the highwaymen are the police are exactly that. Instead of them coming up, and they're doing it more often now, than now they're just starting to stick the gun in your face, so you got any cash or valuables,
right.
Hand them over. So that's how over the top we're getting now. Before they were pleasant about it, they would say, you know, you're doing this or that, and it violates this legal thing. So I will give you this voucher that you will take over to the administrators or the principal at the high school, or whatever you want to call these guys. They're not judges. They don't deal in law. And they will decide how much of your personal property we're taking from you.
Right.
And that's against the law.
Correct, but it's legal.
Yeah.
It's legal, but it's not lawful.
And it's only legal because of our fictional person. Now,
correct.
Then we come to the next problem. If like, we go back to McDonald's, okay? You're saying I work at McDonald's, or you can force me to abide by the rules and regulations of McDonald's. How can you do that? I'm not an employee. Well, according to the legal system, when you were born, you entered into the company.
Correct.
Well, wait a minute.
Which is insane.
Well, isn't that insane, though?
Well, first off, a baby, a minor, can't enter into anything and be held to it. And second off, a mother or father can only do what's in the best interest of the child until they're 18. And in actuality, there, our parents have done us a disservice because they weren't looking out for us. They weren't protecting us. And they entered us into this quasi-silent agreement.
Well, they actually thought they were doing
they
us
thought
a
they
favor
were.
Because they were offered benefits, you know,
correct.
The child benefits and this and that and the schooling and all of that stuff. So they thought, well, okay, makes sense, but it was no disclosure involved in that. They didn't say that when you sign this, you'll get some benefits for your child, but now we own your child. Your child becomes chattel, becomes investment property for the corporation. I don't think too many parents would have said, oh, hot damn, that sounds great to me.
Well, of course not. No. And that's why it is fraud, and fraud vitiates all from the beginning of the fraud.
Right.
And that is exactly what we're calling out here in West Virginia, is that, hey, we caught you. It's fraud from the beginning. Now you're going to reset it, and if you don't reset it, well, then you can operate. Go ahead. We'll treat you like a McDonald's. You say whatever you want. It doesn't affect us.
And if you weren't, if you didn't apply for a job with the company, and the company just said, well, tough, you still have to abide by our rules.
Yeah.
But then that puts you in the position of servitude, which is slavery, which is
correct.
Against the law again.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So they have no way out. They have
there
no
is
way
no way out except they have, violence.
They Well, I don't think we got to go there.
No, I'm talking them.
Oh,
they,
on their
they
side.
They,
oh, yeah.
The only thing they have left now is violence.
Right.
That's it. And you can counteract violence with knowledge and truth.
Mm-hmm. Knowledge,
which is what we've done in West Virginia. We've just brought the truth to the light, and we're just slowly marketing that truth to the people. And I tell you what, this case has received international attention at this point. Little old West Virginia, bunch of rednecks and hillbillies living in the mountains and hollers, has attracted international attention off a simple case.
Yeah, but that's because, right? It's all about knowledge.
Correct.
And knowledge can only be gained by asking questions.
Absolutely.
Once you ask it, you must force yourself to go find the answer to the question. And once you find the answer to that question, trust me, you will have some more questions.
I still have questions every day.
So do I. There's days that I think, okay, that's it, I'm done. And I have read literally tens of thousands of pages of documents.
Correct.
And I think, okay, I'm done.
Surprise.
No kidding, eh?
I mean, yeah. I just found two big things out this week, and I've been at this since 07. And I mean a full-time job, 07.
That's when I came back into it full-time, was the fall of 2006. And I've worked 7 days a week since.
Yeah.
I have taken an incredible hit financially. You can't do this full-time and pull a full-time living. You can't do it.
No, I'm a pauper at this point.
I am definitely a pauper. I struggle to get from month to month. I do have people say, you know, why do you work this hard, this long at this when you're not showing any results for it? Well, my answer to that is, and all those people out there with the AK-47s and that are totally ticked off, I hope you hear this. This idea that we're going to change this in 24 hours or something, it took them a long time to get us here. And it's not going to take us as long to change it, not by a long shot. We can change this in probably from here on in a few years, and we're going to have to change it.
Well, you could fix the system in under 30 days.
You could.
But to clean up the mess that it created, you're looking at 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, that's a reasonable timeline. So this is about, we've finally gotten to the place now where people have, pulled away all the curtains kind of thing. And they see now what exactly the real problem is.
Is that the Wizard of Oz?
Kind of, yeah. sort of. But you know, I didn't know what the word humbug meant, you know? And I went back several years ago, and I just skimmed through The Wizard of Oz again. And when the dog pulled back the curtain, I think it was a scarecrow, said, looked at the wizard and said, "You're nothing but a humbug." So I went and looked up humbug, and it's basically trickery, deception, right? Mm-hmm. A fraud, you know.
Correct.
And that's what we live under. We live under fraud and deception and trickery. Now, why would we do that? Why would we do that? Why would we work and use our labor? I mean, when you think about the United or America or Canada, every single thing that was everything that was ever done on these lands was accomplished by the people. The legal fiction never did anything. Put your license on the car seat and ask it to go up to the store and get you a quart of milk. It ain't going to happen.
I tried that before. It didn't work.
It doesn't work. You don't get the milk.
No, I didn't have breakfast the next
morning. No, so only the men and women, the people, can accomplish anything. So we have built everything that is here.
It's yours.
We have paid for everything that is here. Everything that is here belongs to you, the people. Does not belong to a bunch of lawyers or judges or politicians. It belongs to you. It is our boots on the ground. Possession is 90% of the law. We possess it. It belongs to the people.
Correct. And there's a simple writ at law that would allow you to effectuate what you're saying. That's a writ of replevin.
Say that again?
A writ of replevin.
I've never heard of that.
It's a writ of repossession because they purport, and see, you can, that's when you can use their own words and statements against them. They say, you know, we're the government. This is your, you know, the government. And so this is your government. So anything the government claims to own is ours. When in fact, it's a private corporation masquerading as government. But their own words said they're our government. So that means it's ours. Get a real court of real live men. Start issuing writs of replevin. Take their property away from them. See how long they can enforce their laws and other things when they don't have a police station or police cruisers. They don't have a court building to go to. There are lawful ways to do this if the people would just listen and come together.
Well, that's what we've been saying for a long time, is we must use their tools that they use against us.
Yeah,
we have
and
to
I
turn,
just like their
turn
word.
It on them.
I mean, we have the guy masquerading as governor. Well, he's actually the CEO and manager of two corporations. One's governor's office, one's governor's mansion. One of them is classified as an entertainment company.
Okay, let's go there for a little bit if we can, Thomas. Okay, now I've done that up here. A lot of the researchers have done it up here, and that is done in Bradstreet and Manta.
Correct.
Now, if you could just go through some of your discoveries. I mean, that's a real eye-opener.
It is. And you can use the free version of Dun & Bradstreet is actually creditreports.dnb.com. That'll give you the corporation, if it's traded publicly as another name, and the registered address for it. And Manta will do the same thing, and sometimes it will give you the principal and the incorporation date, the employees, and the income.
Yeah, actually,
so I use both.
When I ran into Manta for the first time, when I was doing some research on the corporate setup here of the municipality, and that it was eye opening. But I thought, where are they getting this stuff from? So they're in Ohio, is where
correct?
They're based, and I called them up.
I
called them.
I said,
and they said we just pulled it from Dun & Bradstreet. And I said,
they're actually a subsidiary of Dun & Bradstreet.
Oh, are they? I didn't know that.
Yes, they're actually a subsidiary, a very obscure one. But I did the same thing. I called them, and I was like, so where do you get your stuff? And I was told that they check Dun & Bradstreet and that they also use the records keeper of the state. So normally in most states in America, it's the Secretary of State. And Dun & Bradstreet, I did call them and ask them where they got their records. They said directly from the records keeper of each state. So they go and compile that stuff for you, which is great. And see, I think the unlimited subscription to D&B is somewhere in the range of $10,000 to $12,000 a year, or it's like $180 per corporate report. And of course, you know, I'm not going to pay. As long as I can see that they're a corporation and their registered address, that's all I need to know.
What I found interesting in your video, and I've splashed that everywhere, because you have a good sense of humor in it as well, with the the bizarro sign popping up every now and again.
That was retarded Superman, remember? And so I'm kind of taking a jab at him.
Well, why don't we do this right now? If you got, I know you have a YouTube. What's it called? How do they get to your YouTube site?
Actually, I don't. That is Phil's. I don't do anything technical. That's all Phil.
Okay. Have you got a way to get to it?
Yes, if you go to hudok.info, that's hudok.info, that is our informational clearinghouse, one spot. And at the top of the page, it says hot link, and it's the YouTube video. It's 50 minutes of me running my mouth on camera.
And you guys have Phil has a Facebook. I think it's Phil Hudok.
His Facebook, he's also got a hudok.com. See, he has run for office in the past, and before he met up with me, he, as a third-party candidate here, you have to petition, and so he was petitioning to be on the governor's ballot for the next election right before he met me. So he's got, his other things are more related to his promotion of becoming governor, and once he met me, he realized, well, I can't be governor because I would be committing a crime against my own people, but I can stay in the race and I can get up there on that bully pulpit.
Well, see, this is why I ran. One, I knew they were never going to let me get elected.
Right.
I was asked to run for several different parties, and I said, no, I can't do that. I have a moral code here. But I couldn't get, I was trying to get some mainstream air. I called the radio station, does talk shows on mainstream locally. And there were some subjects I was interested in. And he just was straight out with me. You know, there's no effing way you're ever getting on the radio. And I thought, well, you want to bet? So I ran. And I encourage everybody to run, because most people don't quite get it till you run in an election.
Right.
These people all have the same sound bites. They have the nuances for their particular party, but they're all the same sound bites. They are not fighting amongst each other. Okay. I've said that on the show before, but at the end of the last all candidates meeting I was at, a gentleman who was in government before for a mainstream party came up and said, can I shake your hand? And I go, why? And he said, do you realize that if you hadn't entered this race, not one issue of any importance would have ever been allowed to see the light of day? And this guy was in government before and running again. You know, so I had a hoot. I had Masons following me. I know these guys, and every all candidates meeting I was at, they would just walk the back room and just try to stare me down. It was hilarious.
Right.
I encourage people to go do it, because this is opportunity to get your voice out, right? To get to talk to the people. The people
Correct.
Are more open at this time during an election than any other time. You know, it kills me. If you try to bring up politics at any other time of year, people go, I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to go there. But during an election, all of a sudden, these same people become experts somehow.
Right.
You know, we need to vote for this guy because I like what he says. You don't have a clue what he's saying.
Right.
And then this year, I was asked if I would think about running in the federal election that's going on here right now. And they said they would try and raise some money. And I said, you know, but I can't, you know, if I won, I can't go there, because then I have to take an oath. Once I take an oath, I remove myself from the people.
You're an enemy then.
That's right. But back to Manta and that for a second, you found the same thing I did, which absolutely freaked me out. And it's in your video that some of these entities are actually have residential addresses.
Oh, our legislature is owned by the clerk of the legislature, and he's running it out of his home. Our Supreme Court is registered to an address that we can't find who owns it, but it's a residential address. And that's insane. Not only is it probably breaking their own zoning laws, because you can't have a corporation or a business being run in a residential area, but they're most likely receiving payment from the corporate state to offset the cost of their running that business. So in other words, they're probably having their mortgage paid for, they're having their living expenses paid for by the state, and they're getting a double benefit. Plus, are these guys making money as the corporate person too? Are they double billing? Are they getting government salary and corporate salary? I don't know. Are they?
Well, if they were smart, they would be, but I swear to God, most of these people involved in this are dumber than a box of rocks. And that's the other thing. You know, when you go to the top, you know, who said it or where it was supposed to have come from, but, you know, all we need is a few people at top know what the hell's going on and a whole bunch of useful idiots to implement it for us. And that's what's going on through employment.
Correct.
You know, these people, for the most part, really are clueless. They just went and got a job. And the job says this is the policy that we have to follow. You've talked to those people. Well, that's our policy. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Well, I don't know, but that's our policy. You know,
they don't think about it.
No, they don't think. They don't ask. They're just happy to be getting their paycheck. You know,
correct.
There's no difference between a Walmart employee and a government employee.
Correct.
You know, And so, but the thing is that we just keep shining the light on this. You know, these guys, you could call them vampires if you want, and they're sucking us dry. And they've used us and abused us. And one thing a vampire cannot stand is light.
Correct.
And that
I'm walking around.
You know that because, when you file those papers to them, that's a very bright light. And they can't respond to you. Because that
expecting a response.
No, I know, but that brings them out of the dark into the light. And
correct.
They can't go there. They can't survive.
It's in their venue, in their public record. You can't hide from it. If I'd have just taken that to a bunch of people privately, it wouldn't be the same as putting it right in their face.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't know how many responses I've gotten to very specific questions over the years, and I have to write them back, and I says, thank you for your non-response. Well, we responded. Yes, you responded, but it has nothing to do with the question that was put to you.
Right.
But we have a requirement to respond, so we did.
Right. And that's that wordplay again.
Yeah. So it's just stupidity. It's insanity. It's bizarro world.
I mean, we even weaved Alice in Wonderland into a document going into the Supreme Court.
Did you really?
because we said what is down is up, what is up is down, and we were given the definitions from the older law dictionaries of fictions of law, and one of the earliest ones we found was actually the fiction of law was created to facilitate a descendant's estate, and that's very telling.
Yes. There's I used to use this handle way long time ago, and it was 180, and I would phone into shows, and people said, why are you 180? I said, well, I just like to deal in truth, and if you look at this thing logically, everything is upside down, and we just need to flip everything 180.
Correct.
And it's the very same as that scene, and I don't watch many movies, but my wife got a kick out of those Pirates of the Caribbean thing. And actually, when you think about it, the pirates are actually the lawful people, if you think about it logically.
Right.
They are the ones that stepped outside the system, right? They are the lawful people. But there was one scene there where Jack was running back and forth across the boat. They were floating around on their boat. But things didn't, everything looked kind of normal, but not kind of normal, which is exactly the world we live in. Everything looks kind of normal, but there's nothing normal about it. And he starts running back and forth across the boat, and the other guys look at him and go, well, we'll just do what he's doing. And they finally rocked the boat until they flipped it and came back to reality. Right? And that's basically all we're trying to do.
Correct.
Yeah. I don't watch many movies. The movies tell you straight out what's going on, but most people think they're being entertained.
Right.
And they don't get it.
They're required to tell you, the evil has always been required to tell you what it's doing because of your free will choice. Nowadays it's more in your face.
Well, that's the other, what do you call it? The Achilles heel or whatever. Okay?
Correct.
This is why, I once wondered a while back why they write everything down. I mean, once you're a good researcher, look out. Everything is written down. All you got to do is go read it.
Right.
And they do it so they can say, well, we told you.
Correct.
Exactly.
It's kind of their plausible deniability. We told you, and so you went along with it. It goes back to the maxim of law. Silence is acquiescence.
Right.
And so we're not silent in West Virginia. We're not agreeing to it anymore.
And they have nowhere to go. You know, and the point is to gather up enough people. Okay, now we have to get by the Waco syndrome, if you will. We're a very small group of people who were causing nobody any harm. The trick there was, can we get the American people to stand down while we vilify this group? Whether you agree with them or not is not the point.
Right.
Can we send in these heavily armed troops, people, police, whatever you want to call them, and hold these people hostage who have done nothing wrong, will the people stand up? And they didn't. And from that day on, it's been accelerating like a bugger.
Correct. But we did have a shot that was heard around the world, and that was the Bundy Ranch.
Yes, and the Bundy Ranch is a perfect example of who actually owns the land.
Correct.
Right? And I don't think a lot of people got that.
They didn't.
No. But it was a very good thing, because I didn't spend a lot of time on that. I watched a couple of clips, and the fact that people actually came and stood down the same group of people that took out Waco.
Yeah.
Stood them down.
And the key thing behind that was that guy had utilized the legal system in his defense. He had lost. He went to appeal and lost. And so when you look at that case in particular, the Bundy himself was in default and dishonor. He lost. He admitted he was a slave because he went to their system to protect himself. Mm-hmm. He lost. Then he lost again. And so those agents, in actuality, had all legal authority they needed to come there and do anything they needed to secure the property that was going to be the security for the debt he owed.
Right.
And yet the American people said, no, we don't care about your legal system. You're not taking this man's land.
It was brilliant because, you know, that was a show of...
Solidarity.
It was people
from across the nation,
and the people were bright enough to understand we have to show force, but we don't want to get into a shoot 'em up with these guys. Okay.
I don't know if you knew this, but the federal agents at the very end there, before they retreated like cowards, had said over the loudspeaker, if you continue moving forward, we will shoot you. And what they do, the people kept moving forward.
That's the answer. That is the answer.
Correct.
The only power they have over anybody is fear. Fear not.
You have nothing to fear but fear itself.
That's right. And let no man deceive you.
Correct.
So the weaponry that we actually possess is very, very powerful.
Correct.
And we just have to get enough people to understand who they really are, that they're not this fictional thing. I remember I told my mom, you know, I said, you know, she had her driver's license sitting on a coffee table or something. I said, who's that? So, whose is that? Oh, it's mine. No, it's not. Well, yeah, it is. Well, who's that name? Well, it's mine. No, it's not. You don't own that, and it ain't your name.
Right. You can't even make
a claim. Oh, wow, you're crazy. You know, that's stupid. Well, no, actually, that's reality, Mom. Right? You've been lied to since the day you were born, and you need to get over it, and we all need to get over it. And that to me, I think, is a start point. You have to accept the fact that you have been lied to since the day you were born. Your education system was a system to train you like a puppy.
Yeah.
Sit down, roll over, go here, go there, sign this, don't sign that.
Don't be in the house.
Yeah. Stuff like that, yeah. So, you know, go back to this human thing, which makes me nuts. I was in court one day. We were there for a 3-day trial, and the Crown, he puts his arms out and he goes, Your Honor, we're all human beings, right? And I see you're an idiot, right? If you want to be a human being, be a human being, okay? A human being is an evolved great ape. I ain't one of those. Okay? I am not one of those. And all that boils down to this human garbage. Two things. Okay? And I don't want to get preachy here, and I don't go to church. I do use the King James Bible, and I use dictionaries. But two things I've found do not exist in the King James Bible. One is the word legal, and the other is the word human. Both of those are man-made to control other men. In other words, a small group of men playing God over everybody else. and they replace law with legal. They replace man with human. They've turned you into an animal. And somewhere in the Bible it says, you know, don't be deceived or be as cattle or chattel or whatever it says.
Right.
Okay? In other words, be enslaved. And that's what we've accepted.
Correct.
And we have to unaccept that.
Yeah, you have a free will choice.
Yeah. That's the
you are permitted to be a slave if you choose it.
Yeah.
And you are permitted to be a free man if you choose it. And see, we use the term, we have the term in our document that the state, of course, made fun of, and it's real man with hands and legs.
Now, I like that. I forgot.
But I didn't make it up.
Where'd you get that?
I got that off that historic lien that the Federal Reserve and the Department of Defense and a few other entities had filed in 2011, and they put a lien on every man, woman, and child in America. And when they put the lien on, that was what they described us as, a real man with hands and legs. And I thought about that for a while. And I said, okay, real man, I can understand that. It is what it is. It says what it means. You're a real man. You're not a fiction. But then I was like, why hands and legs? And then I thought about it, and I said, well, that's because if you don't have hands and you don't have legs, you're actually useless to them. You can't provide anything to the system.
Ah.
But that is their own words, and they made fun of their own words. And that document is actually on hudoc.info, and it is under the evidence packet, and it's the $14.3 quadrillion lien. It's actually times two because they put 14.3 on every man, woman, child in America, and then they leaned our land for 14.3 quadrillion. And what it was a total of $28.6 quadrillion lien. And if you understand the UCC, when you have a lien, that's actually a security interest that you can then write fictional bonds and creation of fictional money off of. So where did $29 quadrillion go? Where did it go?
Didn't go in my pocket.
Didn't go in mine either. But that was specific to the United States, but I guarantee...
It's the same everywhere.
...that every country put a lien on every man, woman, and child and all the land and agricultural products within the past 5 years.
Yeah, and the kill game here, the real kill game here to get you into the human settlements and that, and you know, what is not sustainable from the 76 human habitat conference in Vancouver, what's not sustainable, private property. All property must be held in public, which is private, which is corporate. Because private property is actually...
You mean public is private?
Yeah, I know, that's a kicker, right?
Yeah.
That's a kicker, but private property is a form of social injustice, meaning that if you have private property, which is just an investment package, but if you hold that, then you can advance yourself, and that's why our forefathers came here, but you can advance yourself, whereas someone that doesn't have property can't, and therefore... You can do better than they can, and we're all in this for the common good, which is the bottom of the scale, and therefore it's a form of social injustice. So that's why you have all this property confiscation going on right now. They are going to leave you back where your forefathers were before they came to this land to get away from what they were living under then.
Correct.
And we owe it to our forefathers who actually got hoodwinked to come here, but they came here because of they knew there was no other way to get themselves out of where they were at. They had the backbone to come here, get on them boats, come over here with a broad axe and some sugar or something, and open this land up. And we owe it also to the kids and the grandchildren and those not born yet, because I swear to God, somebody down the road somewhere, if we don't stop this, is going to walk up to your grave someday because it found some information or something and look down and say, why didn't you do something? Because we got to push them back before they get the total lockdown in. We got Pope Man coming here, down your side in September.
Yeah, and I've extended the invitation
he's the boss
to come
man.
Visit me personally.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah.
I should.
Yeah.
I think I'll do that because, like I told you, I did get the notice on my blog that the Vatican is now following blog updates.
And I shall
write them a message.
I actually have him in default and dishonor in a matter of the organic trust that was created by my author at my birth, and he stole it. And so I have him in default and dishonor, and I offered him to, while he's here, might as well stop by my house. You can go ahead and we can solve this problem privately. Otherwise, I'm going to bring it out in public and I'm going to embarrass you.
Yeah, we're just going to turn the lights on bright. And,
yeah. I've got a nice spotlight.
No one can be held in servitude against their will. That's a law.
Correct.
Okay, and you are being held in servitude without your consent. And so that breaks, I mean, they break every law. But you're not supposed to know that. You're not supposed to know. You're supposed to be a proud, waving, flag-waving citizen. Citizen, of course, if you look in the Webster's Dictionary, says citizen means subject.
Correct.
And subject slides you back to servitude, which slides you over to, which is slavery.
Correct.
So you have a bunch of flag-waving slaves to the corporation. Why are you waving the corporate flag? You don't work at McDonald's.
Correct. And they're not Batman.
That's right. And they got nothing.
I mean, Batman.
Well, when you look at it, they're the old emperor with no clothes. They got nothing.
Correct.
They're
naked right now in West Virginia.
Yeah, and that's sweet, isn't it?
It's beautiful. I'm having a blast. Having fun.
Well, you know, I've been kind of abused a few times in the court, roughed up a bit in the court and that. And, I don't even get excited about it. It's a teaching system. The courts here have gone into total disarray. Nobody's paying any attention to the judges. And there's always a class taking place out in the common areas. People teaching people, just like we're doing on this show today. And the cops are standing going, "What the what?" You know, and the judges are going, "What's going on?" Well, the light's on you, my friend. You're going to have to come to you have to come to terms with this at some point. And they're pushing like hell right now because that's where they're bringing the Pope in. You know, they know people are waking up, and they're trying to push their international law, which we're already under, because all of our countries are states of the United Nations, which is Popeville, really.
Popeville.
Well, yeah, I put a thing in there. People are going, "Oh, we got to get Trump in." Well, the first thing Trump will do if he wins, which ain't going to happen, but it wouldn't matter. But if you know anything about Mr. Trump, he likes his name on everything.
Right.
And so it will not be the United States of America. It will be Trumpville. And he'll put it on the map, man. It's almost caught.
Well, he's just a distraction
because people
are fed up. And so he's been brought out to quell the people that are upset and would riot and change things. And they're saying, "Oh, look, we have a candidate now. He's speaking for us. He has no chance of winning. Even if he did win, he's not going to change anything. He made all his money in the system."
No, it's a three-ring circus, and they brought in the super clown to entertain you.
Oh, by the way, if you look at some of our filings, you'll see that we actually found Barnum and Bailey circus stamps, and so we put them on our filings because we wanted to let them know what we thought of them.
See, it's fun, isn't it? And this is the
thing. We had a blast with this.
This is the thing, people. Please do not get depressed over this stuff. Do not be full. Okay? Look at this as living life large. Okay, and have some fun with it, because it is fun, and if you look at it wrong, I suppose it could depress the hell out of you. It did
until I started playing with them. Then I realized that I have to look at this as fun and entertainment for me.
Well,
I did.
Well, we hold the cards.
All right,
they've shown their hand. They ain't got a hand. We hold the royal flush, not them.
Correct.
Okay, they've been bluffing us all the time. and their cards are on the table now. There's no hand. So we win the pot. And what's the pot? Right. Your life, your land, and your futures. That's the pot.
And don't even look at it as yours. Look at the next generation. Look at the children that don't have a voice.
Well, this
no
is
one's
the thing.
Speaking up for them.
Yeah, I have never done this for me.
Yeah, I mean, I figure my life's over. Even at 39, you know, my life's over. I can never recover necessarily from what's been done. But my children can.
That's right. And we owe it to them. You know, just as your forefathers thought they owed it to give their children a better opportunity than what they had. Okay?
You have a debt to those you bring into the world to leave them better off than what you found it.
Right.
That's a debt you owe your children and the next generation.
Yeah, we got to get off the damn plantation, you know. And I'm going to say this now, and people hate it when I do this, and I'm going to do it anyways. Something about the N-word, I don't get that. But to all the politicians and the police and the preachers, because they're all corporate preachers.
Correct.
Okay, if you look at it logically and honestly, okay, the corporation is the plantation owner, and you, my friends, are the house niggers.
Yeah.
Okay? You are a slave as well, but they offer you a little bit better benefit, maybe a better paycheck, better pension, to do the bidding of the plantation owner.
Correct.
And that means you've turned against your own people, and you can't get much lower than that.
No, that's a traitor. That's a yellow belly.
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst. That's worse than them.
It is, because
you sold your own people
better.
Out for a few shekels of silver.
Right. But I do believe as we go forward that people will start to realize what they're involved in. There is such a thing as a moral code, and people do have somewhere deep down inside of them some moral fiber.
The majority of them do.
They do. And that will come to the forefront, and then we fix it up. So I am so happy to have you had been on here. You know, we got to do this again.
Anytime.
I think next time what we'll do is we'll start the show a half hour or so earlier, so that by the time we get whoever is messing with this off our back, we'll be just coming in on the show time instead of
right.
It's in a half an hour. That was interesting. And, you know, I guess I've been at this so long, all this nonsense that went on, I didn't even get a sweat going. It was kind of comical, actually. Irritating, but comical.
Well, like I said, it happened to me on several large radio shows here in the U.S. They did the same thing. They wouldn't allow me to be connected. And so that tells me that what I'm doing is right, proper, truthful, honest, fact, and that they're very scared of it.
Yeah,
please take a look at the website, hudoc.info. All kinds of great stuff, and even if you don't live in the States, just look at it and then look for the similar thing in your country, because they use the same template everywhere.
Yeah, it's all template. It's always been template. You go back as far in history as you want, they just have templates sitting on the shelf, and they pull them when they need them, and they just rearrange a few words, and they got the template, and they just use it.
Yeah.
So anyways, Thomas, I want to really thank you for being on today. I'll get you the YouTube on this as soon as it's ready. Normally it would be about an hour, but Jules, the administrator of this network, sent a note that she's going to dump all the problem we had at the first and clean that up before she loads it up. So as soon as I get a copy, I will get it to you.
Yeah, and if there's any way you can get me the unedited copy, I think that's great promotion for me.
We can do it both ways.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, if you can give me that, I'd love to have that.
I got music. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you,
Justin. Thank you.
Thank you in the chat. And everybody take care, and we shall see you.